Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Southern Equipment and Parts in Laurel is your go-to spot for all things tractor and heavy equipment. From sales to service and even locating that hard-to-find part, we can handle it all. We even have rentals. For all your tractor and heavy equipment needs, visit Southern Equipment in Laurel or call 601-651-4555.
All pre-record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, good afternoon. Welcome to the Super Talk Eagle Hour. Bob Getty back with Kelly and Dima. We're glad you're with us. Hope you were here every day that I was gone. We're broadcasting from the Southern Bank Core Studio here in Oak Grove, Mississippi. Opening segment of our show sponsored by Dickey's Barbecue Pit, a great place to cater your next event. A great place to cater your family's functions, business functions, or just take your family for dinner. Glad you're with us. We're going to be talking to Lance Thornton here in just a couple of minutes. But, Kelly, while I was gone, did anything unexpected happen? Maybe like an old president stepping down or anything of that nature?
No, not really.
Can't really think of anything? Okay.
Yeah, well, there was absolutely nothing politically going on.
I just wanted to make sure that I didn't miss anything. I was in the beautiful city of New Orleans one day.
Where I'm going tomorrow.
Oh, man. And well, just be careful where you go.
Dima's going Wednesday for Media Day at Sunbelt. Actually, in the third segment of the show today, we're going to talk about the preseason polls have been released, Bob. The Sunbelt has released its preseason coaches poll. We're going to find out where the Eagles stack up. That's in the third segment today.
They picked to be number one?
Well, that's what we call it's
anticipation.
What we call a tease. Yeah, you'll have to wait till the third segment.
Any more baseball players leave while I was gone?
No, Dalton McIntyre is officially a Brave, though. So
okay, all right. Really don't like hearing that, but you're working to get him on the show, I understand.
Nothing that was not expected, I don't think. Either way, and good for him. You know.
Yeah. Do you think we see more of this kind of like one and done college baseball? We've seen that in basketball a lot in the last few years.
If it's up to the players, it will be.
You just see more and more of that. You know, they come in from junior college, they're here 1 year, they're gone.
Well, the junior year at Division I is the first year they can be recruited. Junior college, they can be recruited at any time. So, you know, yeah, that's the idea, because that's where their leverage is not going back for their senior year. So that's where they get the money is, okay, well, if you don't give me what I want, then I'm going to go back for my senior year.
A kid like that, how much money you figure in that last round of the draft are you going to make?
I don't know. It's all slotted. You know, it all has but again, it's more the opportunity than it is the money.
Yeah.
Truly.
Yeah.
I mean, because, you know, you might not get the opportunity next year. You have a bad year. You might not even get the call.
Here's the interesting one for me. Let's say you've got a kid, and he's a high school kid, and he gets drafted, you know, middle, late rounds, straight out of high school. Would your advice as a father be, why don't you go play college baseball, enjoy being in college, and there's always the possibility of playing professional. Would you want your child to leave directly from high school off into professional baseball?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, we talked to who do we have on?
Nico Mazza?
No, the father-son duo.
Oh, Jordan Adams.
Yeah. And you know, he was graduated out of high school. I mean, yeah. Drafted out of high school. And he was, what, $4.5 million?
Okay, but that's that's the exception.
Right.
Yeah. That's not the average kid that comes out of high school. You would advise that.
Yeah, you want your kid's dreams to come true. And, of course, the other side of that is, well, there's always school. You can always go back to school.
Yeah. You know? I would be the opposite, but that's just us. All right. Introduce our guest, Kelly. You set this up.
Lance Thornton is our guest today. He joins us on the phone. He is a native of Hattiesburg, Mississippi, a 1993 graduate of Oak Grove, did his undergraduate at Southern Miss. And although the opening for the Olympics officially takes place Friday in Paris, I guess this part of the Olympics, so to speak, is taking place in Bemidji, Minnesota. I'm talking about the Unicycle Olympics. Lance is a member of the American Unicycle basketball team. Now, I put that pause in there specifically so that if you wanted to laugh, snicker, or ask yourself Is that really a thing? Well, it is. And Lance, we welcome you, man. Thanks for coming on the show.
No, thanks for having me.
So this is a thing. Not only just unicycle basketball, but there's tell us about some of the other quote unquote Olympic events that are being staged in Bemidji, Minnesota.
Absolutely, it is a thing. It has no association with the Olympics.
Right, right.
Just to make that clear for anyone listening, but it is colloquially called the Olympics of unicycling because they have all sorts of sports. They have downhill, mountain unicycling. They have track races and high jump and a long jump and figure skating equivalent all on one wheel. And I play in the team sport division. They have hockey and basketball.
Now, figure skating on a unicycle, okay, you're going to have, I'm trying to visualize that. Obviously, there's not a skate on the wheel.
Right, yeah. Well, I guess the equal is that the tricks that someone does are similar to the tricks you might do in figure skating. So you might jump up and, you know, do a pirouette in the air or do a double pirouette in the air or, you know, do sort of acrobatic type moves, you know, in costume to music, just as a figure skating routine would be.
I would pay money to see Kelly Sanders try unicycle figure skating.
Well, I don't think the tires come inflated enough to even put me on a unicycle to where the tires wouldn't pop. But I was asking you earlier, Lance, about the unicycle high jump and how that works.
Yeah, that's a thing. I mean, there's a bar, as you can imagine, and the competition, as it goes on, the bar gets higher and higher, and people try to jump over it on their unicycle. So you and the unicycle that you're riding both have to clear that bar cleanly to register that height.
Now, when we were talking this morning, you understood not my cynicism, but I was just getting a chuckle out of this because I'm a visual guy, and I'm just trying to visualize all this and unicycle sports in general. I would think somebody would have had to have been really heavily medicated to come up with these ideas.
Well,
you know, how did
that's a fair observation. I think unicyclists in general, the type of personality looks at something and says, okay, that looks hard. I think I could make it a lot harder if I did it on one wheel.
So how did you get started as a unicyclist?
I went to Oak Grove High School, as you mentioned, we had an exchange student who was there. I wasn't hosting him, but he was at the school, and he was from Belgium, and he was a juggler, a unicyclist, and that sort of thing, and I became friends with him, and I thought it was pretty cool. So I took it on as kind of a personal challenge to learn how to do those things, and I was just, you know, just wanted to see if I could do it. That's kind of where it started. Yeah.
Is it play the same exactly as basketball? You're just on a wheel?
Well, the rules are the same, essentially. There's a few modifications to the basketball rules to accommodate for the unicycles. On a unicycle, you're a little bit slower than you would be on your feet. You have less lateral movement, that sort of thing. So the 3-second rule in the key becomes a 4-second rule just because things are move a little slower. And then there's some specific rules about if the unicycle is on the court and if somebody runs into it or whatever, and, you know, rules about being mounted on it and that sort of thing. So there's particulars about the unicycle itself. But otherwise, it plays, you know, pretty much just like a basketball game.
Is there traveling and walking, like, involved? Like,
yeah, there would be. You have to dribble while you're pedaling. And if you, what you call idle, so you're kind of rocking on one foot, that's equivalent to having a pivot foot down in basketball. So you can do that and have a little motion there. And otherwise, it translates pretty cleanly. You know, we take free throw shots. You know, people line up. We take a free throw. People shoot threes. But some people can dunk it from their unicycle. So it's very much like watching a basketball game. Maybe a little bit slower, but
I think the obvious question, Lance, is at what point in your life did you say, you know, to hell with basketball, I'm going to play unicycle basketball?
That's a fair question. I ask myself that all the time. I learned, like I said, in high school, and then when I moved out to California to work.
There's the answer.
The clutch.
There's the answer right there.
The clincher.
Played a lot. Yeah, and so I was fancied myself getting into mountain biking, and so I was on a mountain bike ride, and I was riding on a trail, and I met some people who were doing it on a unicycle, and I was like, oh my God, wow, you're doing it on one wheel. And so I chased them down and got the numbers. How do I get into this? I can ride a unit. How do I get the right equipment? You know, how can I ride with you guys? And so I started riding downhill mountain unicycling, which is very much like mountain biking, but now on one wheel.
Now on the basketball side, Lance, on the basketball side, the referees, though, are on foot, yes?
The referees are on foot. The fans are sitting down. No one else is on a unicycle except the players.
And
I'll finish that thought. As some of those mountain riders also played unicycle basketball, and they sucked me into that. I'm like, I play basketball. I love playing basketball. And so that's the end of that. That's how I got into playing unicycle basketball.
Well, when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about how the French are really good at unicycle basketball and how the American team got put together. Lance Thornton from Hattiesburg, a member of the U.S. unicycle basketball team, is our guest, Bob. What's that?
I'm signing up tomorrow.
Yeah, book it.
We'll be right back.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
The Eagle Hour, Southern Miss to the top.
Dana Genesis of Hattiesburg is the official auto dealer of Supertalk Eagle Hour. Genesis vans and SUVs are the finest on the road today, as is their new showroom on Highway 98 West in Hattiesburg. Campus Bookmart sponsors this segment of our program, and visit with Miss Kathleen actually over the weekend, sweet as ever, and got all kinds of, still a lot of baseball apparel and football apparel beginning to arrive, but they're stocked up for the summer and the fall, so make sure you check them out. Campus Bookmart on Campus Bookmart on Hardy Street, campusbookmart.net. 10 years into the show, and I think it is safe to say that our guest, Lance Thornton, is the first unicycle basketball player we've ever interviewed on the Eagle Hour, a former Southern Miss graduate, and a lot of people would say, well, of course, Southern Miss, and he's playing unicycle basketball. So, Lance, what is the training process for a unicyclist basketball player?
Well, it's two different things. You certainly have to train your basketball skills and your unicycle skills. So, you know, a lot of shot practice, a lot of dribbling practice, and, of course, you know, the team aspect of the game. We get together and, you know, run our set plays and, you know, strategize about the other team, watch videos of teams that we're up against and that sort of thing. So there's all the basketball dynamics that you would imagine. And on the unicycle side, it's more about stamina, you know, learning how to stay on when there's body contact, and basketball is a contact sport. So you get pushed, you get shoved, and, you know, you need to be able to stay upright, stay on the wheel.
Yeah, well, we're glad to have you. I'm also not surprised to say that Kelly Sander found this interview. Kelly, go ahead.
No, it is so cool. Like tonight, the French and the Belgians are going to play for the gold medal. The U.S. team is playing another French team for the bronze medal. And there's two French teams, one playing for first, one playing for third. And Lance Thornton, one of the things that I've learned is that the French are kind of the bosses in this sport, yes?
That is true. Yep, they have excelled. I mean, France is a nation of cyclists, if you will.
Yeah.
With the Tour de France, and which is you know, a big deal in the country, and for whatever reason, the unicycle caught on just as well. So they are the dominant country right now in this sport.
It seems like once you get the hang of actually being able to stay on the unicycle, it might actually not be that difficult to handle it. And it would make sense that France, you know, with all of them who love cycling so much, you know, to be pretty good at the sport.
So there's nine guys on our USA roster, Lance. And where do they come from? I'm guessing all over, yeah?
Well, mostly California. We have one fella out of Las Vegas, and then another fella who lived in California and trained with us, but he now lives in Chicago.
And, you know, we're sitting here kind of, you know, tongue-in-cheek, not really making fun of this sport. It's just the notoriety of it is kind of cool.
Yeah.
But when you think about it, there are many sports phrases that could be used in unicycle basketball, like this team's really on a roll.
Oh, come on.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, just as one example, you know.
Kelly, you think it would probably be safe to bet that the guys from California, their training fuel would be avocado and
seaweed sandwich.
Perrier water.
Perhaps. And I think many of the California guys might have, in their days, had a left-handed cigarette or two, you know.
Possible. All possible.
But Lance Thorne, I want to go back to your days at Southern Miss. Of course, you went to
sure.
Oak Grove. And you have a lot of good memories of Southern Miss. Do you get? I know your folks are still here, so you get back to Hattiesburg every once in a while. What were your favorite memories of being a student at Southern Miss?
Oh, going to basketball games.
Okay, so basketball is your favorite sport. Is that reasonable?
I think that's fair to say.
Okay.
It is. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, just going with friends, going to basketball games, going, you know, with my family to basketball games. We've been a long time supporter since I was a kid. My dad's into basketball, and he'd take me to the basketball games there in the arena. And my grandmother's a big fan of lady basketball, and so we're just big fans of that. So a lot of fond memories there. But you know, it's where I was getting my education. I was a computer science major, and took a lot of art classes at the same time. And I just have a lot of good memories hanging out on campus.
You're a really good sport about this unicycle basketball, because I'm sure any number of times people have asked you if you've officially lost your mind.
Yeah, well, you definitely have to have a healthy dose of self-deprecation when you play a sport like this. So yeah, I've heard it all.
So and you have a coach, and you say although the coach can ride, the coach doesn't necessarily get on the unicycle and coach the team that way.
He doesn't coach the team from a unicycle, but you know, he'll get on and play with us in scrimmages and demonstrate things and that sort of thing. But he doesn't play in the actual competitive games.
And it's actually called Unicon is this event, and Bemidji, Minnesota is hosting this event. And Lance Thornton, correct me if I'm wrong, some 3,000 unicycle athletes have converged upon Bemidji for this event, yes?
That's right, athletes, and across all the different sports.
Right.
Obviously not just basketball, but,
right.
You know, like I said before, the track and field events and everything else, if you add them all up. Yeah, that's right.
Now, as much as you've been around this, what do you think it would be the craziest unicycle sport to try? You've talked about the downhill. We've talked about how in the world you do a high jump on a unicycle.
Uh-huh.
What's the toughest one to explain, you think?
There's no
unicycle water polo, right?
There's not yet. But there is an event called gliding, and what that is you get on a hill, a paved, you know, road.
Okay.
That has a decent decline, and you get going. And at one point, you cross a line, and your feet have to come off of the pedals, and you rest them on the frame of the unicycle, or just leave them in the air, and you're just zooming down a hill, completely out of control. And the competition is just to see who can get down the fastest, and they go one at a time. You can imagine what happened if they had more than one at a time. And I mean, there's spill outs. People got full face helmets and everything else because it's quite a dangerous event to watch.
Let me guess that 90% of the players who participate in that are also from California.
For that sport, I think it's a lot of Germans.
Oh, even better
for that one, for whatever reason.
And that's called gliding.
That's called gliding, yeah.
Again, another event where someone would have had to have been really heavily medicated to come up with with that idea. Right. So as a member of the American Unicycle basketball team, how long are you tenured for this? I mean, do you have to try out for it each time? Do they do these Unicons every 4 years like the Olympics? Kind of tell us about all that, Lance.
Oh, the Unicon is the formal name of the event,
right.
And it's every 2 years,
okay.
And it moves around to different host countries every 2 years.
And we haven't had one in the U.S. for a while, yeah, up till this year?
Yeah, I think it's been at least 30 years since we've had one in the United States, so kind of a big deal that we're hosting it. At a Unicon, they'll listen to pitches. The board that runs this event listens to pitches from different host cities. Like, this is, we can do the track and field, and we've got mountains, and we've got the infrastructure to have whatever is needed for the event. And then a selection is made, and then that city's the host city 2 years later. So that's generally how that works. For the team, we kind of have to reset every 2 years and figure out what the team is going to look like.
Now, is there unicycle football and unicycle baseball and all the rest of it?
There is unicycle football. It's not an official Unicon sport event, but there is a league actually in Texas that plays unicycle football. I have never seen unicycle baseball. I don't know if that would translate or not. Probably not.
Well, your story is fascinating, Lance Thornton, and it's great to have you on the show. We wish you good luck tonight in the bronze medal game against the French.
And, thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks again. A Southern Miss guy, Bob, on the United States unicycle basketball team.
All right, Lance, thanks very much for being on the show, and thanks for being such a good sport.
No worries. Thank you all.
All right, Lance Thornton, everybody. I don't know, Kelly, I have this vision now burned in my brain. I'm going to have a hard time getting it out tonight when I'm trying to sleep, of you coming down the basketball floor on a unicycle dribbling a basketball.
Well, I don't think you could fill the unicycle tire with enough pressure to
be
take
those Husky tires.
No, they would
Mountain
be
Husky
they
tires.
Would be flat tires.
A worse vision would be him trying to do figure skating in a unicycle.
And they can dunk.
Yeah. That's a worse vision.
These guys on their unicycles can get up high enough where they can dunk the basketball.
That seems a little hard to believe.
I
feel like that might be harder than the NBA.
You can't just yourself jump off of your unicycle.
How do they even land?
The unicycle is part of the, just like the high jump.
Are you like strapped into the pedals?
You wheel up.
You got to be strapped into the pedal.
You wheel up to the high jump bar, and I think he was telling me that the record for high jump is just a little over 5 feet. So you and the unicycle have to go up over 5 feet to get over that bar.
Well, that's an interview you won't hear often. We'll be right back.
Tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
All right, 4th Street Bar and Grill sponsors this segment of the Super Talk Eagle Hour, where you can always get a shrimp po' boy at a cold Pabst Blue Ribbon, where you can always catch the big game on TV, and you can always have a good time.
But, Bob, I don't think you'll have to pay $50 for a shrimp po' boy at 4th Street Bar and Grill.
No, I missed my 4th Street po' boy when I was in New Orleans this week. There's no question about
that. I don't think any shrimp po' boy is so good you got to pay $50
for
it.
No, it made me miss a lot of things about my little town. But I'm damn glad to be back, let me tell you.
I'll bet.
Great place, 4th Street Bar and Grill. Slade, wonderful guy. I also want to thank Mo Bay Beignet Company. let me bring that up. Me bring that up while we're here, too.
Vent, Bob.
Yes, $30 worth of beignets, I like about six, and a couple of coffees. It made me miss Mo Bay Beignet. And no topping, Kelly. No topping.
What? No powdered sugar?
They had lots of powdered sugar, okay. But no topping. way too crowded, noisy, loud.
Heck, at that price, the powdered sugar should have been Coke.
Correct. Just enjoy Mobe Beignet Company, 2902 Hardy Street in Hattiesburg. They've got a great Facebook page. And trust me from a guy that just got back, they're better than what you're going to get in New Orleans. Super Talk Eagle Hour podcast on Apple, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher. Tune in, or you can just tell Alexa or Siri to play Super Talk Eagle Hour. I want to thank, I think, Lance Thornton for being on the show and explaining about the unicycle basketball team. And then Dima showed us some video of that. That sort of erased my thoughts of you being on one, Kelly. It made me realize how just virtually impossible that would be. So,
yeah.
I mean,
regular basketball, you have to do too much running. This is even harder work, so no thanks.
Yes, Kelly's idea of working out is to ride in his car with the air conditioner off. Yeah.
Or, you know, 8-ounce wrist curls while I'm watching other people exercise.
I understand. All right, so Kelly is, speaking of New Orleans, going to be there. I mean, tell you some things not to do before you leave and just save yourself some grief.
Yeah, really. You've already given me that list. I'm perusing it as we speak.
Right. Kelly, at Media Day tomorrow, the Sun Belt Media Day begins, and the polls are out. Let me hear them, guys. Go ahead and break the bad news as I get back in the groove of things.
All right, let's have a little guessing game. So for the West Division, who do you think was number one?
Texas State would be my guess.
I agree.
That is correct. Texas State with 92 points and 9 votes to win the championship.
Oh, wow.
Okay, so that is correct. Who would be number two in your guess?
My guess would be Louisiana.
Troy.
Troy is correct with 68 points, 4 votes to win the title.
Oh, man, I don't...
So in third place is your Cajuns. Okay. With 66 points and 1 vote to win the title.
So this is the West.
This is the West. That's the top three. Texas State, Troy, Louisiana. Who do you think is number four?
South
Alabama.
Arkansas State.
Oh, I forgot that. That's right.
65. So both, the buzzer.
Yeah.
South Alabama's next at 5. And the Fighting Golden Eagles at 6th place in the West Division with 31 points overall. That is 3rd lowest in the whole conference.
Wow, that
didn't know what he
was. That was a little harsh, Rob. That was a little harsh. So the third lowest in the. So let me guess who would be behind them then.
Yes.
Monroe.
Yes, with 16.
All right, and so that takes care of the West. So then it would have to be the last place team in the East, which would probably be Georgia State.
Correct, 19 points. So you have Georgia State and ULM behind Southern Miss. Everybody else is in front. So who do you think is number one, favored to win the Sun Belt with the most first place votes and the most points overall?
Are we going to do the East?
This is an East team.
This is the East. I'm going to App State.
That would be my guess.
Yeah,
too.
That is correct. So App State is favored to win the Sun Belt with 96 points and 12 first place votes.
All right, so 12 first place votes, 9 for
Texas State.
For Texas State.
Yeah, so pretty even.
So that's who they think the final's going to be, is App State and Texas State.
Yeah, the next highest is 4 for Troy. So
okay.
All right, second place in the West. We've already knocked out App State at number 1 and Georgia State at number 7. So who's second place, do y'all think?
Would James Madison be that high, Bob?
You think? You know, people like them a lot.
Yeah, they do.
They do win a lot. I think that's a legitimate guess. Yeah,
that is correct. Okay. James Madison was 79. So you see the drop-off, 96 points, 79 for James Madison.
Where's our dinger? For the, we got that one right. No. No, that's Hump, the Wonder Camel.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
All right.
Where's Marshall? Marshall, to me, has always been a really solid program, and they just seem to have really slipped.
Yeah, they're way down. They're 5th place in the East with 49 points. Obviously, that's still more than Southern Miss, though. But they're 5th in the East. So it goes like this. App State, James Madison, Coastal, Georgia Southern, Marshall, Old Dominion, Georgia State. And then the West Division, Texas State, Troy, Louisiana, Arkansas State, South Alabama, Southern Miss, ULM.
Now, this is coaches and media?
Coaches.
Just the coaches.
The Offensive Player of the Year is Joey Aguilar from App State. The preseason Defensive Player of the Year is Jason Henderson, Old Dominion. No Southern Miss players were selected to any of the first team or second team offenses or defense.
Well, here's my question about Texas State. Are they getting all the love because of the quarterback transfer?
Partly, but they also had, I think, 21 transfers. And they all seem to be offensive guys. So this, from if you listen to what everybody's saying about Texas State, this is going to be G.J. Kinney, their head coach, is like the offensive whiz kid, right? They're going to be running formations that nobody's seen before. They're going to have 16 guys out for passes. I mean, it's going to be a really difficult team to defend. And people love offense. So they always gravitate toward people who are going to put up points and make it entertaining. So that's why I think they're kind of the sexy pick.
Yeah, and you think about the reality of this, just for a Southern Miss aspect of it. You know, sixth place in the West. No player on your team is selected any of the first team or second team ballots. So not a lot is expected of Southern Miss. I find that to be actually kind of surprising. While I do think that, you know, there's still some question marks, like I could name a couple of players that would be like, well, I feel like they're at least one of the best in the Sun Belt. I mean, you think of like a Dylan Lawrence on the back end, you know, Ty Mims is a wide receiver. I mean, you think of these skill players who are really good, and then, you know, you have them third lowest in the whole conference. I feel like that's a little too low. Not to get into what my record prediction is that was so willingly stated here a few weeks ago. But
four.
Yeah. No.
He restated it. Yeah.
Restated it.
Yeah. Henderson, I don't have a problem with Henderson as a defensive player. That guy's a stud. The linebacker, yes, for Old Dominion, he's a stud. But I would have thought the quarterback that transferred from James Madison to Texas State would have gotten, you know, the player of the year last year, which is another reason, as Bob just mentioned, that Texas State is getting a lot of respect. But if you're – and I know, look, this is – it's one thing for the media to vote on this and to have these results. But
this
for
is the coaches.
Yeah, this is the coaches, yeah, who almost, if you crunch the numbers, the coaches aren't as impressed with Southern Miss as the media
and
is.
And I'm going to ask you both guys this. You know, I go back, say, for example, to the Old Dominion game. They lost that game last year, but that came down to the goal line. That came down to a half a yard. That was a really competitive game. And they lost several games like that competitively. But how big a hangover is the debacle that occurred late in the year at South Alabama? And when people look at that, coaches look at that and say, if you got beat that bad on that night, there's so much that has to be done to get you competitive again. I mean, is that a fair assessment, or was that a one-off?
Yeah, I don't know that I would.
And couple that with the fact you lost your best player, Frank Gore Jr.
There are some other dots that need to be – there are also some dots that need to be connected here. All right, you got Will Hall, who's beginning his fourth year, right, at Southern Miss. And you've got some of these other teams, and let's just take Troy, for example. Troy lost a lot of players. John Summerall left to take the Tulane job. So you have a lot of new coaches in there. You have practically a whole new team. How can Troy be picked to finish second over a team that has a fourth-year coach at Southern Miss and, you know, a lot of players coming back, particularly on the defense? Those dots just don't connect to me. I mean, I just don't get it.
Well, I mean, I agree with you. And they lost a lot of players, too. So
yeah,
that is the Troy at number two. I would put Arkansas State up at number two. I still,
yes,
think they're the kind of the dark horse. But when you look at Southern Miss's schedule and you look at this coaches poll, let's just say it's correct. So you got James Madison number two on the East, Texas State, Troy at 1-2 on the West. Southern Miss has to go on the road on all three of those teams, like this season. You know, so if you count those as potential losses, they're already at three losses in conference. Then they have to kind of pick up wherever, and they still got to play Arkansas State. They still got to play Louisiana, South Alabama. So then you can start kind of coming in, like kind of accepting that maybe, you know, they're not going to win the conference championship, of course, but maybe they are going to be a 4-3 or 3-4 conference team. And I feel like that, with how competitive the Sun Belt is, that could put them down there at 5-6 or maybe even, dare I say, 7 in the West.
And when you look at the Eastern draw, not a bad draw. Marshall, like you said, is projected to finish 5th. And James Madison, of course, you have to go to James Madison.
Yeah.
I think that's right. And Marshall, yeah, comes here.
Yes.
So one good draw, one bad draw, but it could have been worse.
Yeah.
You know, in the East.
Yeah, you could have pulled Coastal or App State and James Madison. So yeah, I don't think you're too disappointed about that.
Well, Bob, we're going to hear from all the coaches that Southern Miss plays this year, plus some of the players that whose names you're going to hear
starting
a lot on
tomorrow.
The field.
Starting Kelly tomorrow. Be doing a live report from New Orleans tomorrow. My guess is Kelly Center will ask those coaches why they're giving so little love to Southern Miss.
And have they ever heard of unicycle football?
Bring that up. We'll be right back.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, D-Bat sponsors this segment of the Super Talk Eagle Hour on Hardy Street. Great place for baseball, softball training. Great guys down there, got a lot of expertise, and they can make your children better in baseball or softball, whatever their sport may be. So check them out, Hardy Street. All right, as we said, Kelly will be in New Orleans tomorrow. Dima will be in New Orleans the following day. Now, Kelly, tomorrow is Eastern Division Day. Did I have that right?
That's right. Yeah, we're gonna get, and the commissioner is going to make his, so to speak, the
State of the Conference.
State of the Conference address, yes. And he will not be on teleprompter.
No, we're good.
And he won't have an earpiece.
No. So he won't nod off during the address.
He's
a young, bright, energetic guy.
Yeah, so we'll get to see, you know, what he has to say. And to me, that's as interesting as getting to talk to the coaches and players, too, to see what type of forward vision the Sun Belt has when there's continued talk of expansion, you know, especially in the Big 12 with Central Florida and you know, Clemson and some of those teams, Florida State, maybe thinking about going to the Big 12. So, and in those types of things, you have to be proactive. You cannot be reactive. Yep. You've got to sit around and know what your next move is going to be if the first domino falls.
So let's pretend for a moment there's expansion. They add two teams to the Sun Belt. Kelly Sander, who are the two you'd like to see?
Louisiana Tech would be one from a geographic standpoint, and I would like to see them approach Tulane.
That's funny you say that. That's the exact two schools that I was thinking, Louisiana Tech and Tulane. I think that'd be a natural.
Well, Tulane brings a private school air like Vanderbilt does to that other conference that we talk about. Geographically, it's a good place. It's easy to get in and out of, you know, New Orleans.
I think both of those would be solid additions, too, to the league.
But Tech, you know, might be problematic because Monroe would not want Tech being there. But really, and I –
play the devil's advocate here. Why don't you get rid of Monroe and put Tech in their spot?
I was just going to say, I don't think Monroe is really in a position of bargaining. They don't have any bargaining chips. So
Tech Athletics, much, much better than Louisiana Monroe. Who would be your two, Dima?
I'd say Tulane as well. I think that I think it's honestly weird that they're not in the Sun Belt already. I know they're in the AAC, but it just seems logical to put them in there. And I would say Memphis. The Tigers.
Well, Memphis would be a good option. That would be a good Eastern selection.
Exactly.
Put Tulane in the West.
What about UAB?
You can leave them in the conference, you say.
Yeah.
Well,
leave them there.
It was a great rivalry for a long time. There's no question about that. It was always a little special when UAB was playing. It was a little different. For sure.
And really, you're kind of duplicating at UAB, which you already have in South Al. You have a medical school.
Right.
You know, a school that.
When I think about it, I kind of like Dima. I kind of like Memphis and Tulane. I think that'd be a nice, strong addition.
I agree.
Oh, I think, if you want to go to La La Land, yeah, because that's not going to happen. Memphis wouldn't, but I think.
Yeah, it's just for the TV contracts and stuff, like in the cities of New Orleans and Memphis, adding those two cities would just be ginormous. And to add Memphis and basketball for the Sun Belt would be big, you know.
Yeah. But so, I think more realistically.
Yeah, realistically it wouldn't happen. Yeah. I would say probably more realistically, La Tech and Tulane would be more. But, I mean, are they really going to add two Louisiana teams? That would just be kind of shocking to me. I would think it'd be like Tulane and somebody maybe north, maybe like a.
You just don't go to Texas. Let's not
East
start
Carolina
expanding westward. You know, that was always my
contention
that the Conference USA was just so unrealistic because you're going to El Paso, Texas to play women's volleyball.
And now that conference, you have to go to Lowell, Massachusetts, all the way to Las Cruces, New Mexico.
That's insane.
I agree, man.
That's absolutely.
What about Tulane and East Carolina?
Well, I'd be up for East Carolina. Now, you were too young to remember, Dima, but I can remember Kelly Rambis. That was the number one football rivalry here for years.
Some of the greatest games. Brett Favre's pass to Michael Jackson, I think.
No question. I mean, East Carolina was something you look forward to every year.
Adding them for baseball would just be terrific.
That'd be good. Yeah, that'd be good. Baseball and football. Yeah.
Well, perhaps we'll be able to ask the commissioner that tomorrow.
Well, you're the man that's going to be there, Kelly. Just avoid those $25 poor boy sandwiches, okay?
Well, Sunbelt Conference, I'll say this. They feed us good, don't they, Dima?
They do. They did last year.
Yeah, breakfast.
Well, that explains why he volunteered to go at his own expense, doesn't it? I've been wondering, why is Kelly being so cooperative about this?
Yeah, well, I always, the commissioner says, aren't we supposed to do our interview now? I said, just give me a minute, So, yeah, I mean, they take the breakfast food away, and then they put out the lunch food immediately.
He's a great guy. Yeah. He's real open, real accessible.
Yes.
I think a fine leader for the Sun Belt.
I'm like never before, I'm really pulling for this group of guys at Southern Miss, and I think they start practice actually day after tomorrow.
Oh, 100%.
I think their first practice day is, or maybe the following Wednesday, maybe a week from Wednesday. I've got my weeks mixed up.
Kelly and I have said this before, but let me just say, two guys that have for a long time dealt in college athletics, generally speaking, Division I football coaches are not very friendly, not very accessible, just not much fun to deal with. Will Hall is the opposite of that.
Terrific.
He is the opposite of that. And so how do you not do nothing but wish Coach Hall everything?
And, everybody prefaces that statement by saying that. Man, I really hope he does well. But can all these people, can the media, can the coaches, can everybody be wrong? Well, we're hoping yes.
We're hoping so.
Yeah.
Well, the story will begin to tell itself tomorrow. Kelly Sanner, and then we'll be there tomorrow, as we said, and then Dima will be there on Wednesday, and then we'll have lots of interviews. We'll try to interview every college coach in the Sun Belt while we have the opportunity to get them in a building. So, going to be fun.
Should be. Good to be back.
Looking forward to it. Thanks for holding the fort down. Tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Until then, Southern Miss.
To the top. I want to fly like an eagle to the sea. Fly like an eagle, let my spirit carry me. I want to fly like an eagle till I'm free. I go through the world of mission. A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.